You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Topic is actually a very important topic in the realm of overcharging, as well as it's actually going to have applications to medical ethics, which we'll touch on a little later. But the topic we're going to talk about tonight is when I have a customer and I realize that he really needs my products for whatever his unique circumstance is, can I therefore, for no other reason than the fact that he really needs it, raise the prices on him? In English, we call that a shift in the demand curve. So in America, capitalism believes that if you summon is a higher demand, or for whatever purpose there's a higher demand, you can take advantage of that. For which reason, you'll notice that stores in supermarkets in Manhattan, all of a sudden, the prices for umbrellas triple, or double, or triple, when it starts to rain. So is it worth it to overcharge things if you know that he doesn't want to get his 60, all the businessmen on Wall Street don't want to get their $90 ties ruined by the rain, so they'll happily shell out $20 for a $4 umbrella and the like. Similarly, if there's a critical medicine, the person has a medicine and he knows that, hey, the person is ill and that in the family will pay anything to purchase that medicine, as is often the case with cancer medicines from the fund. So could the seller, the pharmaceutical company, take advantage of that demand and charge whatever demand will demand? Thirdly, we'll deal with a very fascinating question. Let's say a lady, you're a jeweler. A lady comes into the your jewelry store and she says, I lost my pearl earring. This is the other one. Could you please replace my lost earring? Now, let's say the earrings are $500 a piece. Well, how much is it worth it for her to be able to get one more earring to complete the set?
$475.
What?
$475.
Let's rephrase that, $975.
For each?
No.
Is there $500 each?
Yeah, each. $500 each. So you could get away selling one of them for $975. Right. Because if she doesn't buy it for $975, then her other one is worthless. So,
if another one sold one, that's the black man. The other one's black man.
And finally, the last question, which doesn't always work in the market that we're familiar with, that's your side point. If it's Erev Sukkos, and again, there's not a lot of etrogim going around, then a guy comes to you 5 minutes before you close your esrog shop on Erev Yom, you're about to jump into the shower, and he says, I need an esrog. Could you say, sure, it will cost you only $350 because I really want to shower? Won't that be a violation of the Yisrael? So basically, if we boil all of our questions, down to one issue, the issue is price relative to the consumer's need or is it just an objective? Price is a price. Whatever the market will bear, but not related, and I have no right to take advantage of the specific plight of one individual customer who has a unique need. So to understand the sugya in general, we have to talk about, let's not talk about people in critical need of a specific item, but just a general question of, are prices, is there such a thing called market price, or could there be relative prices? Different people have tried different ways of pricing items. Doesn't just mean I'm richer, so I'll spend more for something. It means if I need something more, does that therefore mean something has a higher price tag? Exactly what our condition about Pesach and Aleph in the source number one. Eidel zel pidyon b'ni, kala zel pidyon b'ni, lomar. If a Yisrael says to a Kohen, is there a Kohan? Are there Kohan here? I mean, is there a Kohan in the house? Fine. So we can make fun of the Kohan when we don't have the Kohan. So I say to a colleague, you know what, could you please take this egel as a pidyon, or talis as a pidyon, lo amar kol. That didn't work because, I'm not sure if the point is that it's not enough, it doesn't have a value, let's assume it doesn't have a value of Hamisha slot. However, if I say, Mr. Cohen, will you consider this egel is a Hamisha slot, the pidyon have been, please consider this and take this egel at the value of 5 slav, and in that context of it being worth in your eyes as 5 slav, take it as my pidyon event. Or talizu, this $4 shirt, please take it please consider us. Five slime with the company and coming after me as soon as we have it works. Yes, it's gonna win. What's the case? How did you make it happen? Was it worth five slime or not worth five slime? What did you give it? Said, the low shop. In fact, this was a $4 email with a $4 shirt, and yet it still works if he says that I take it myself as $5. The coin declines a bit. The coin accepts it at that value. And then we want to continue to the story. And from this story, we're going to see a very important halakha of what the parameters are. The other kana, shakal sujumi bipinu hadayim. The kana was a kohen. Interesting. Is that a pun, some kind of pun, or do we ever notice? Did anyone ever know that Rav Kana was a Kohen? I never noticed it till the sec. Rav Kana, the Kohen, took the handkerchief. A handkerchief is a lot less than five slugs. And yet he considered that. He took it as quicker than that. How could he do that? Amar Allah, he told them, he told the father, does he dechazi the chamish slug? Okay, so he has a weakness for nice handkerchiefs. he likes his pocket square, he's missing his pocket square, and he gives an angel without a pocket square. Amar Rav Ashi, lo amron ala kagon Rav Kana, the gam rabahu mivayale sudra reshe. Right? In the olden days, regular plebeian people didn't wear turbans. I don't know if it's talking about a turban or a yarmulke. What's talking about a turban? It makes us Shmaz and people always wear yarmulkes feel better than that. Of course, they all wear yarmulkes. The question was, they didn't wear the Kashmir Rabbanim wore turbans. So for him, if he goes out without a turban, a Kashmir Yid like him, with a belly head without his turban, so if he forgot his turban at home, he'd happily wear, pay $5. If you show up at a wedding and you go to your trunk to put on your tie and you see your tie's not there, for a wedding, you're paying $50. If you drove to Lakewood for a wedding, right? Okay, go back. Fine. If you drove far, you spent $20 on gas, and you pay a lot of money for a tie. Why? For you, if you need it, you won't pay. This is the most important line. But a regular person can't just say, I consider this to be worth a lot of money for me. What do you see from this Gemara? You see 2 points in this Gemara. First of all, you see that you can take something that's not valuable. You can take this box of tissues and automatically make it valuable. But it's only if it's really true for you. Meaning, you happen to have a bad cold and you need tissues, because otherwise your nose is going to turn into use that cardboard paper towels. You're going to end up with rubbing your nose away off your face because of your cold. So I could say, yes, I consider this worth $10 per box of tissues. That won't be enough. But only if I have such a cold. For a solid person to say, I'll pay $10 for a box of tissues, that won't work. Even if he's willing to accept it, that won't work. Because there has to be a real need like Rav Kana. Now, with this in mind, we were just introduced to the concept of relative value. That things don't just have a set objective value, but it could be relative to the man. Who makes this point? Who drills this point, sucks this point out of the word of Kedusha? That's the Ritva on that same point. Says the Ritva of Kedusha that has Shamir Mihacha. You can apply it to Hilchos Amnah. Now remember, the Gemara we just learned had nothing to do with the Halachos of Amnah. All it had to do was Hilchos. Pidyon HaBed. What we're now going to do is apply it from Yoredeya, Pidyon HaBed, and transpose it into Chosh Mishpah to talk about Ona. And that's going to, that you need to have shoulders to do that. And that's what the Ritva is going to do. Shamir Mihacha. Shamotra Chavis Achavir Vishis. You sell something for $6. It was Shukla Shabbat Alchamisha. And that only worth value at $5. That's a sixth. Ilahai Lokea Shamishisa. If for this purchaser is worth $5, Eva Ona. And I underline the keywords. Bibasa, Dideas, Dinam. It depends on the purchaser. So therefore, if you want to sell whatever it is, and this guy, if you're selling, sodas, and you see a guy who's just coming off a triathlon, and he's willing to pay more, guess what? There's no one on. Fabulous. Tremendous school. Alright, skip to the next paragraph. Into. Mihu. Davka v'deshavul izbune shisa ki urche. That's only in a normal situation. You see what he means. Aval, l'di de lo shavi. If it's not really worth it for him, element nation, dafuk v'davar. It's not really worth it for him. He just has no choice. He's forced into a situation. Meaning, a guy who's run a triathlon is a bottle of water worth $10. It's not that this person has a sheet of I'm willing to pay $10 for bottles of water. It happens to be he's stuck. And if he doesn't get water in his body, he's going to be dehydrated. He's going to end up having to call a hotel. He's going to have to pay $250 for the copay for the ER. So, we'll pay $10 for a bottle of water, not because it's worth it for him. You see the rhythm's doing that? The rhythm's splitting hairs. He's saying, yes, you could, if somebody's worth more to somebody, a certain person, you could charge him more. But you can't take advantage of a specific case that he's stuck in, a specific scenario. Again, look at the underlying one. Well, the thing was shabby. It's not worth it for him for that $10 for a cup of water. Elam Krishna, don't look the dogar. Havada kitsisa mito hatcha. That's called setting the price based on the dot, on the pressure. And that you can't do.
And for that, he says, I have a story in Yevamos. Let's see the story in Yevamos. Actually, let's finish this before we see the story in Yevamos. Based on this, what does he say? Look at the next line underneath the underlined lines. Umikan, from here you see, lilokeach sammanin bidamim yekarim. If a person is going to buy medications for an exorbitant price, mutarasa, is that going to be ona or not? Could somebody buy, they tell me, yeah, it's going to be this pill, you need to take it, otherwise, the cancer could, whatever. It'll be $20,000 a pill, twice a day for who knows what. I have no choice. The person has no choice, he has to pay for it, right?
That's right.
But could he buy it and then go back afterwards and say, oh, bitul mekach, you charged me ona?
Return the item, you have your money back.
There's cost of the item plus a reasonable profit, right? He's got a shot at $20,000.
Okay, what happens if that's not the case? What happens if that's not the case? It's that the regular price is whatever, but the pharmacist knows.
Yeah.
He's going to pay for it. So what does the Ritva say? Based on what I just said, that even though you could adjust prices for somebody who considers it more valuable for him, but not mitol chatchak. And therefore, mikan lokech saman, and somebody who buys medications, b'dami yikarim, ignore what I wrote, mipnei choli hatcha hadochek, because of a pressing sickness, delo mechayev elabid mayan. How much is he going to have to actually show up? Right? He says, yeah, I'll pay you tomorrow. $20,000? Sure, $20,000. Tomorrow, what is he going to pay? He'll just pay whatever its regular price is. Right? Delo mechayev elabid mayan. And so too, kol kayotzi bazeh.
As that world is the real world, he's going to get two pills. He needs two pills every day for the next 6 months.
So he'll get a 6 month supply.
No, he's getting.
You're a doctor. You're not as better than me. Okay, but since you're a doctor, I have to be nice to you. So lechavid, the doctors, lechavid, the medical doctors in our midst. We're going to read the next line. Let's say a doctor says, oh, you poor soul, I could happily cure you of your gastroenterological pain or your scars, right, Dr. Fox, whatever else you, I'll surely remove that scar from your, across your forehead. But that will cost you $30,000. Sure. Okay, so he does it. Next day, the billing company calls and says, okay, where's the $30,000 box? What could I respond? Look at what the Ritva quotes from his Rabbi Rampan. Miyum hisne b'schar harofei harbe. If you made you agreed to a very exorbitant price for a doctor, chayev litain. Oh, not like the other case that we saw until now. Why? Shachach maso machalo ve'ein la damim. right? The doctor is, you're paying not for a supply, not for an item that could have a set price, you're buying his wisdom. When you go to a surgeon, you're not buying, you're not paying him for the stitching and the piece of metal that he's going to implant in you. You're paying for the dexterity, the agility, the wisdom, the experience, and that money can't buy. That's wisdom. That's something that you will be therefore bound by whatever a price you agreed.
Even when it says some money, it's not the, we would call drugs.
Right. So that's the note that I made.
More.
So your wife is a pharmacist. So you have a greater appreciation of pharmacological matters than most people, and you realize that. Nowadays, you and I, we think of going to the pharmacy. What do pharmacists do? They are people who know how to count really well. They can count till 30 and not make mistakes, right? That's why they went to 5 years of pharmacy school, right? They could count 30, sometimes they could count to 60. The really good ones could get up to 90. Yeah, 5 years of school, Baruch Hashem. So he's made a good point. It could be that in the olden days, the pharmacists weren't making drugs. They were just—they knew how to grind. They were just grinding. They were providing grinding services. They had the good, and they provided grinding services. There was no chachma involved specifically. They weren't developing drugs. So therefore, that's why there. So earlier said, when it comes to a medication that you could say, I'm not paying you all that money. Meaning, you could say, yeah, I'll pay you $20,000. And the next day, you say, I'm not going to pay. I'm just going to pay you its value, because you're not paying for his wisdom. A doctor, you're paying for wisdom. As opposed to the pharmacist.
More than that, I'm saying that even if we're talking about the salmon in the dough in your car, it's talking about, let's say you have a specific type of spice or a specific type of item that generally is sold for whatever price it's normally sold for, but since you need it, the doctor said you need to get ginger.
Right.
You need to take in ginger. You need to take in, folic acid. Taking Brussels sprouts, and I have to have Brussels sprouts, I can't sell that for dumb car. But if you're talking about a significant pill, like what we're talking about today, even if you're not necessarily talking about expertise, it's still, there's a set price for it, there would be a price for a pill, and whatever the company charges for the pill, that would be what the price is.
Yeah, the company could charge other prices. The question is, could they change that price for somebody who really needs it?
Well, everyone really needs it.
Who really needs it? No, there's some people who need it, and some people who really need it. You know, sometimes a person takes a cholesterol pill to be on the safe side, or, you know, they have borderline. Sometimes people, you don't take that cholesterol pill, you're dead.
Right, well, there's the chachma creating the pill as well.
Okay, fine. Now, where did the Ritva get this idea from, that if you are, all the Gemara that we saw with the Pidyon HaBen, that there's relative prices. So that means you could adjust the price. Where did he say that if it's for, if you're dachuk ledavar, if you're taking advantage of somebody who's in a precarious situation, that he has the right to promise a lot of money but actually not follow up because he was pressured into it? That's based on a Gemara in Yevamos, Kavav Amaraf. You might have come across it. Gemara tells the story of a chalitza mutes, somebody who was tricked into a chalitza, and we say the chalitza worked. Chalitza, even if you did it usually when you have to do something in Eben HaEzer, but anything you do in Eben HaEzer, it only works because you did it intentionally.
Right.
Except chalitza. Chalitza, we could trick a guy into giving chalitza even if they had no intention of doing it, but they did it, it's a chalitza. Let's see the story. Bas Chamud Rav Papa, I think it means Rav Papa's sister-in-law, Nafal Fnei Yavam Shein Hagun La, she fell before a certain Yavam. So they wanted to bribe him into, sometimes you try to get a guy who's being an idiot and not giving a get. So you say, okay, we'll give the get, and after you give the get, we'll give you $50,000, halavai. You do chalitza and you'll get 200 zuz. L'bas de chalitza, so he says, okay, with the smell of money, I'll be able to take a, I'll do chalitza. L'bas de chalitza, amar la. He said to her, okay, where's the cash? Zil havlei. Amar lei. So the Rav, Rav Papa, who suggested this whole scheme, thank you. Amar lei mishata anibach. She was just pulling your leg. What is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that if you are pressured into a situation and you have to promise a lot of money for it, you don't want to do it, you're just paying the money because you need to save yourself from that situation, then you don't have to pay the money. You know where they talk about this, by the way? I'll tell you where they talk about this. The posuk talk about halacha l'maisa. Let's say there's a father has his daughter. She's 20, she's 25, she's 30, she's 35. He makes a klap on the bima. He says, anybody who finds a shidduch for my daughter, I will write out a check for $100,000 if he makes my daughter's shidduch. Oh my gosh, okay. So, lo and behold, all of a sudden, she gets a shidduch, she gets married. What does he say?
I was just kidding.
Why? That's exactly this case. Somebody who's in pressure, she wants to get married, you know, before she's 40, let's say, and Mashatani Bach. And continues another story. This is the famous story that's one of the most famous stories that every good Gentile bioethicist is familiar with from the Jewish Talmud, is the following story. Milo Tanya, the Gemara brings a proof to the fact that she could claim a Shatani Bach, and I don't have to pay the Menuvel Yavam 200 bucks, like we learn in the following story. Right, you're escaping out of some terrible captor who imprisoned you. You escaped the dungeon, and what's right in front of you? A moat and a ferry. And the guy who runs the ferry says, oh, you want to escape your captors, what are you going to need? Pay me $50,000 and I'll cross you the river. Vamrele, tell Dina, Vavirene, yeah, whatever, Dina, I guess not $50,000. Ain't lo elaschara. When he gets to the other side, how much does he have to pay? Whatever a ferry costs.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
$2.75, I believe. Alma, Mr. Davies remembers it was 5 cents. Alma. So we see that you could say this claim, I was joking, and therefore that's the source for the Ritva. So we see two, we have to balance this. The Ritva is telling us that if there's somebody for whom something is more valuable, you could charge him or he could, you could charge that more valuable rate, and that's not called ona. Right? You're a psychologist. So a psychology textbook for you is worth more than it is to a regular person. So we could charge you more, we could charge you enough for a psychology textbook. But let's say there's a guy who's not a psychologist, but he's in college and he's just taking a course in psychology and the final's tomorrow. Can I charge him $400 for the psychology textbook because he needs it for tomorrow? No, because he's just under pressure. He's not a person for whom it's worth a lot of money. He's just in a bind. You hear that, Chiluk?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So, if we just come to umbrellas in the rain, let's think together. Could you overcharge somebody for an umbrella in the rain? Well, are they this kind of person that would pay more for umbrellas? No, they're just stuck. Sounds like you don't really have the right to charge enough for somebody who's umbrella in the rain. Critical medicines, we have an answer to that too. You don't have the right to overcharge for a person who needs a critical medicine, even though he needs it. Sorry, you can't take advantage of it. Okay, but now life is going to get more fun. Now we're going to talk about the next case, the case with the matching pearl earring. This is the question that the Ktzos HaChoshen, it's actually a piece of Shulchan Aruch, but the Ktzos is going to quote this Shulchan Aruch and he's going to argue on the whole Ritva that we just learned. This Ritva who says that things could have relative values and you could overcharge if for him it's worth more, as long as it's not a specific pressure, but if it's worth more for him, you could overcharge him. Well, let's see.
Does Dina de Mahfusa trump, or no?
That's a great question. The answer is that Dina de Machlusa Dina only applies between a Jew and a guy. Dina de Machlusa Dina does not apply between two Jews. The concept called Dina de Machlusa Dina does not exist between two Jews. And therefore, the halachas of Onar are only between two Jews. So it's apples, it's these are two different sugyas. One's between you and a guy, that's Dina de Machlusa Dina. Between you and a Jew?
Let me ask you, what about the shidduch business? You have some people that have a set price. But there is no real set price for shidduchim.
Oh, if it's a set price, then that's there, and you agree to use them.
Who sets the price then?
The same way, The same way some psychologists charge $80 an hour, some charge $300 an hour.
So whatever his
you choose this psychologist, you'll pay that price, right? Yeah.
When it comes to psychology, it's based on expertise.
Yeah, and economics. So shidduchim also. Some shadchanim have more of an eye, more of a gift, more years experience. They deal with a fancier clientele, whatever it is. Okay. Let's see the case that the Ktzos cites. Look at this Ktzos on the top. He quotes the Ritva that we just learned, and he asks on the Ritva, he challenges the Ritva with a line of the Shulchan Aruch. Look in the second line of source number 5. He's quoting the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Ona'a, and the Shulchan Aruch passes in the second line. Afil bim, the case is Margolios. Ushar dvarim sheadam rotze lizavgan. What's lizavig? To pair. He wants to match or to pair another. He has a diamond, and you need a matching diamond for the setting. Or you have one earring, you need to match the pearl to match its other earring. What's the halacha there?
Like a specialist. Like a medical specialist, specialty
art. No, but yes and no. Here, it's that you don't need a specialist, you need a regular diamond.
Yeah, but you need,
that specific one.
It's in the room.
Right. That's not more of a, that's not a better diamond than anything else.
Right.
When you go to a specialist, you're going because he's better than a regular.
This is personal to the person, to the buyer.
So let's analyze this. Let's analyze. That's exactly going to be the issue. So what is the Shulchan Aruch paskin? The Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh lo ona. You're not allowed to overcharge. A guy walks into your jewelry store, a lady walks in with one earring, she says, match me the earring I lost, the other one. You have to give her the regular price for one pearl earring. You can't overcharge her because you could get away with it and she needs it. You could only charge her the regular price. Wait a second. This is a person. Are they dachuk? Are they in critical... Do they have to save their life? Do they have to save something? Do they have to, oh my gosh, is there any critical need? Is there, what? I'll tell you a story. I was going out with my wife, and I don't remember whatever stage it was, and we were in the same, somebody was out of, I don't remember, one of us were out of town or whatever, we were traveling, and I was with her for a certain Shabbos. Before Shabbos, I gave her a set of earrings. I came back after shul, she already lost one. So I figured this is a simon from Shemayim, but I'm not sure what. But yeah, ma'aseh shehayah. So in that sense, maybe it was a critical, you know, critical situation.
Sure.
But
Could they charge one price for two of them and a higher price?
Okay,
for
one? So Shulchan Aruch says that that's a set price. Mashma continues. This the Ktzos is quoting this Shulchan Aruch. Mashma afilo lekech gufei tzarech lo. Even you need it. There's still a din of ona. What do you see from this? Are you allowed to adjust prices based on need? Again, there's no critical need. It sounds like you can't adjust prices. We don't say prices are relative to you or to somebody else. I don't understand. Didn't the Ritva tell me 10 minutes ago? The Ritva told me that for a certain person, something could be worth more or less. The Ritva told me that, again, barring critical needs, which is mitochat chak, barring critical needs, that if for a certain person, something could be worth more than somebody else. And you could charge them more if it's worth more to them. And therefore, the Ktzos is saying, "I don't understand that." The Ktzos is rejecting that Ritva based on this halacha, where you see that somebody has a need, not a critical need, but they want to match a jewel. Jewels, by definition, are not critical. They want to match a jewel, and we don't look at it relative to the person.
Even though this case is completely different from the case in the case of the Kahan, the object was actually worth 5 slav. Over here,
no, it wasn't. No, it was not worth slav for
Gavi,
oh, for him.
The Gavi him was worth 5 slav. Over here, once this woman has both earrings, they're worth to her $1,000.
But she doesn't have both earrings. She only has one.
But once she has both of them, they're worth $1,000. Hence, they're worth $500 each.
You're both mathematicians, but I didn't cop what you just said.
It's the Gemara condition. The actual object was worth in $5. On the demand curve, he was at the five slug point. It is actually worth to him $5.
Meaning the cross of the supply and demand.
He's further up on the demand curve than where the cross is. Therefore, for everyone else,
okay, fine.
For him, it's worth $5.
Yeah.
For this woman, two pearl earrings are worth $1,000.
Right.
Okay? The fact that she's willing to buy this for $975 in order to have two pearl earrings does not mean that each of them is not worth $500. Each of them is still worth only $500, and the pair is worth that.
5 seconds after she buys it for $975, it's worth $500.
Right, but she didn't buy it yet.
The fact that she's buying it for $975 means that she's buying it for $500, and she's paying $475, so her other one should also be worth $500.
That's a nice way of looking at it, but that's not the Metzias. The Metzias is she's shelling out $975 for an earring.
Sure, but she has the earring. But that doesn't mean that's what it's worth. It's not a shabbos.
I hear where you want to go. I can't say it's convincing. Okay, fine. Let's. So let me tell you what the Ketzos does. Is he says the Ketzos has a very geshmaka thought that he's going to see on the next one. We're not going to see him inside. The Ketzos is something very geshmak. He says, if you look at my hands for a second, selling something that is ona'ah is different than asking somebody to do something for you for a lot of money. What's the difference between when you sell an item as opposed to you offer a service? If you sell an item and I promise that I'll pay for your service, I'm sorry, if you offer a service, you're going to do my account, you'll be a lawyer for me, you'll get me out of jail, you'll be a doctor for me, you'll heal me from my illness, you'll get me across, you'll push me along the ferry. I could say I was joking. Because did I get any physical item from you? No, you did the surgery, you cured me, you drove me to the other side of the river, you did a chalitza, so I could say I was joking. However, when I agree on a price of an item and you give me that item, I can't come back later and say, oh, I didn't really want to pay so much for the item. Because it says the Ketzos is a chiluk between providing a service. Again, in our minds, we live in a very service-oriented society. It's harder for us to understand that. But the Ketzos is saying there's a difference between offering a service, Dr. Shapiro. Let's say I would come to you and I would say, you know, I'm going through a really hard time. Could I come and talk to you in your office for an hour? Could you give me an hour of therapy? And whatever it costs, I'm going through a tough time, I'll pay you. Regular price. You're not going to charge me $1,000 because I'm desperate. Right? I come to you the next day and I say, you know what, Dr. Shapiro? Thank you for your help. You know I'm in a tough financial situation. It's going to be much easier for you to say, don't worry about it. It was just an hour of my time. However, if I would go to the guy sitting next to you who's selling items and he's giving me an item, we agree on some price that I needed it, so I'd pay more for it. And he gives me that item which I'm paying more for, could I come back later and say, no, I didn't, you know, I didn't really want to pay so much money, it's overpriced? Mister, we agreed on a price and I gave it to you. It's in your hands. You gave me the money. There's no going back. When it comes, that's what the Ketzos says. The Ketzos says there's a chiluk between a service, like the case of chalitza, like the case of the ferry, like the case of that's where a person could say mishat anibach, as opposed to overcharging for ona. There, you getting the person who's being overcharged got an item back. So he can't claim, oh, it's overcharged. I didn't want to have to pay so much. You agreed on a price. You needed it, so you agreed on a higher price, and you got something in your hands. There, and with that in mind, you know what the Ketzos is thereby doing? The Ketzos is thereby saying, Mr. Ritva, you are wrong. The Ritva who wanted to say that you could have a relative price Just like we see by the case of chalitza, just like we see by the case of the ferry, that you could say meshata nibach when you're in trouble. That's true. When you could say it's meshata nibach, you could say I was pressed into a situation, I was joking by a service. But when somebody actually gives you an item, you can't say I was joking and I was willing to pay so much. No, we agreed on a price and you paid. You're stuck with it at that price. That's an interesting rejection of the Ritva by the Ktzos.
What is that?
It's a Svara. It's also based on the case of the case of the pearl, where you see that the pearl is. You see from the pearl that there is ona, despite the fact that there is a relative need, this person needs to match it, yet we say there's ona. So there is, so it's explained, because you got something.
What if you extend that? We always speak about extending things to the point, you know, to an extreme. No one would want to be a seller of those boxes anymore.
A seller of?
The boxes. No one's going to want to sell those boxes anymore.
What boxes?
It's the boxes. The boxes that you can get paid for. No one's going to be a person who delivers boxes to your home anymore. They don't want to provide that. Nobody's going to want to go into that business, that service business of delivering boxes to people's homes.
Because
what's happened is that people have been taught that service is not worth as much as things. So that guy is going to say to me,
no, when you take advantage of a situation, then there's a difference between a service and receiving an item. When you receive an item, you're stuck with it. When you promise to overpay for a service, then you could say, I don't want to overpay. At the real price, where supply meets demand, and it's a fair price, there's no difference between services and an item. Okay, fine. Let us finish off. There's another. One more point, we're not going to be able to finish off, but one more point I think we can make. And to appreciate the next point, again, trying to figure out, is there something called a relative value for somebody who needs it or not? Let's talk about also a well-known Gemara and in the halachas of Onah. What happens if I want to charge you a lot of money for something? What happens if it's raining? And I say, you walk into my office, my store, and I say, Mister, I want you to know, do you know how much this umbrella costs me? It costs me $4. And you know how much I charge usually? Usually I charge $7. But I want you to know that because it's raining, I am charging you $20. If you don't want it, go home and get wet. If you want it, I'm telling you, I'm charging you $20. I'm overcharging you a lot, but I'm letting you know about it. So does that work? That's the Gemara's question, source summary number 6, but it's like the Gemara Bava Metzia. Tanya, Bamedvar Mamurim, when do we say there are the regular halachas of Onah that you can't overcharge, and it comes with all whatever the halachas of overcharging are? That's bistam, a regular sale, plain sale. Ava b'mefarish, if you articulate, you explicate exactly what's happening, exactly what the prices are. Mochesh amel alkeh, the seller says, Chifet zeshani mochel lecha b'masayim, I'm selling it to you for $200. I want you to know, Yodei Anibo, Shein Shava Elamana. I'm telling you, I'm overcharging you. But it's raining, so I'm assuming you're going to pay me anyway. Does that work? So if he says, I'm selling this on the condition that you don't have any Onah claims against me, I'm telling you what it is. And I'm selling it to you, but you can't come back and say, I ripped you off. I'm telling you I'm ripping you off. Don't come back crying tomorrow. Ein lo lav Onah. It worked. Yeah, the Gemara talks about that. Fine. That's why it's, I don't have a concern. That's the Gemara asked that question right over here. Good. Now, with that in mind, we could learn a tremendous kula in the halacha of sales. Gentlemen, let's say you have a yard sale. You are not a seller of, you have a teddy bear. You have a teddy bear, and you're trying to, right? A lot of people, when they downsize, they want to get rid of all the extra stuff because they're moving to an apartment. They don't want to have all the stuff in their house. You have a teddy bear collection. And you have your favorite big, gigantic panda bear that you won at the Great Adventures, and your father took you to Great Adventures for your bar mitzvah. Fine. It's gigantic. Okay. You sell it. And it's sentimental to you, so you'll sell it, but you'll charge like $70. It costs about, you know, $9. You'll sell it for $70. A kid shows up at your yard sale, and he bugs his parents, says, "Get me that, get me that, get me that," and they pay $70. So that's oh no, right? There's no great need. We're not talking about that the kid's going to drive the parents crazy. There's no great need. There's no pressing anything. Just being overcharged. Look at the following Gemara in Bava Metzia on source number 7. When are there halachas that you can't overcharge? When you buy it from a merchant. When you buy something not in a store, but from a balabas, all the halachas of onah only apply to storekeepers, to merchants, to peddlers, to people in the marketplace. But individuals, if you sell something in your house, you could charge whatever you want. Why? Why? Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Mibala bias. Why, when you sell, let's say, jewelry, your house jewelry, or your family's jewelry, are you allowed to overcharge? Takshit nukleitash shelo, they're chaviv in alav. Oh, you have sentimental value. Sentimental value. Ve'eno mochron ela biyoker. Since it has sentimental value for you, you'll part with it, but for a lot more than its market value. And therefore, I underlined, v'havalei, you're not saying that this is, I'm overcharging you. The fact that I am selling my stuff at a yard sale, oftentimes yard sales are cheaper, but even if it's the other way, v'havalei kemefaresh yodani sheyesh bo'ona. By me selling to you something that's of sentimental value to me, it's as though I'm saying, I know that I'm overcharging you, but if you want to take it, as we just learned in the previous Gemara. Now let's think for a second. What we just found out in this case is that something could have a relative value not because the buyer needs it, but because the seller doesn't really want to part with it.
Everything has a price.
If you pay me for my... things are sentimental until you get a price that you're happy with, right? I'm never going to sell my house, right? Until you get an offer that you can't resist. So this is sort of the flip side of the Ritva that we saw before. The Ritva said before that if a person needs something badly, yeah, not critically, but a person needs something, you could up the price. If they in their lifestyle need something for more, that's more than the regular price. Here we're seeing the opposite, that a seller could up the price because it's precious to me. Okay, let's stop here. What we'll talk about next time, we're going to talk about next time is do all items have set prices, or do all items have set prices, or are there only more essential items, like fundamental foodstuffs have set prices that you can only charge a certain amount, but what about things that are luxuries, do they also have, is there also a ceiling for Ona? That would be Hashem be next week. So what we basically learned today is a discussion whether or not, just to review, whether or not there could be, the Gemara told us that there could be a relative price for Pidyon HaBen. The Ritva said, applied it to all things, all sales. Sales could also have a relative price for someone who needs it, as long as it's not critical. And the Ketos HaChoshen says, no, I reject that. The only time that you could adjust prices is when it comes to services, but when it's just a matter of an overpriced item, there you can't take advantage of somebody's need. You're not allowed you have to leave it at the set price.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.